This is the second episode in a row where I'm like, okay, let me close this Slay the Spire 2 run that I'm currently doing whilst we're shooting this shit beforehand. Let me close this Slay the Spire 2 run that I'm doing.
But okay, but do you know what I do have in life? I do have
what?
The perfect martini. The most perfect martini in the world. The one.
Hell yeah.
It's gorgeous. It's
very nice, very classic.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah, we're liking it.
Oh. It's good. I give it up for the Lord, you know? Give it up.
And sister, you're so right for that.
And sister. And sister.
And sister.
And sister, I am so good at that. And and that's the truth, is the thing.
Oh my God. I'm so glad we were able to do that. I've been trying to think of an angle to ever say that, and I forget every time.
Yeah.
God bless. Hey, listen. It's fucking Christmas Carol. God bless us, everyone.
God bless us, everyone. Oh, God bless us, everyone. Tiny Tim, we love him. Tiny Tim, rest in peace. You would have loved this martini. You would have loved it.
Tiny Tim, you would have loved this martini. Your mind would have gone insane if you had to play Mass Effect Andromeda. You would have loved it.
Oh, yeah.
He's Tiny Tim. He would have loved it.
He would have loved it. He would have loved the stuff. Tiny Tim wouldn't have loved Dragon Age the Veilguard. I think we can confidently say
that. No. Because the problem is Tiny Tim came into this world and we were the first people to find him. And we're like, oh my God, have you played video games? And we show this young kid video games. And then he plays all the Dragon Age series and he's like, this is the best. There's another one? And we're like,
Tiny Tim. You know,
kind of. There's kind of another one.
You've survived so much, Tiny Tim.
I don't think as a caregiver, I should let you play Dragon
Age.
And
we know from the canonical ending of A Christmas Carol that Tiny Tim is kept alive by the spirit of joy. I don't think we can show him Dragon Age the Veilguard.
He might kill himself. It'll be bad. Yeah.
It's rough.
It'll be dark.
Yeah.
I gotta close this Slay the Spire 2 run. I'm so sorry. I'm telling you this right now. I was so into the.
What are you? You are. Is this
no?
Podcast
I said
based
I
on
should.
Lies?
I said I should close this Slay the Spire 2 run. I didn't because I was just so into us shooting the shit, and I was like, oh my God, it's just like old times.
It's just like old times. Like every time.
Yeah, like every time. We haven't recorded in like 2 weeks. This is just like
old
times.
That's true.
On top of not having recorded in 2 weeks, we have barely spoken in the past two weeks.
Yeah, because we've been away from each other.
We've been away with like zero signal. So
yeah,
we haven't spoken that much. And it's tearing me apart, Lisa.
Oh my God. It's awful. It's hurting.
It is.
But we're here now.
But we're here. And what are we doing?
We are talking about the finale of Mass Effect Andromeda because guess what? My name is Dylan and I have played every Mass Effect game.
My name is Robin. I've played every Mass Effect game. And this is Dorkspawn, a podcast where we play video games just like a book club. As Dylan said, this is our final of the Mass Effect Andromeda episodes. Mass Effect Andromeda being like the fourth entry into the Mass Effect franchise. The only one not part of a trilogy. But there was a... This is clearly, as we it was clearly planned for more of them. And I did a little research on this like hidden... secret DLC that it was supposed to be. because the DLC was clearly as like the end. It was supposed to be like post the main campaign. You go on this whole adventure. And I got some notes about it because I thought
it was interesting. Okay, I would love to hear about it.
Yeah. So there's a time skip. There's a little time skip of like a, bless you, of like a few years. Kind of the main conceit of the DLC is that you are like hopping around places because there's not that much known about the DLC. So it's like there's not like any names, but you're hopping around places looking for someone who was on your main team, but no longer is. And I'm assuming that's like Sarah, not Sarah, or like your twin. You're like hopping around looking for them. There's a thing where if you don't treat a member of your party well, then they will turn out to be a spy for this other like group of people that are in the game. And I think, because based on some descriptions, I think that's Drac, like the big strong race, like ends up being a spy for other people if you don't treat the Krogan well. It turns out, after you do all this planet hopping, that one of the members of your team turns out to be a member of this like really old, like kind of like god, like pseudo god, like race. And then ends up like betraying you. And I'm imagining that's the Jardans, like turns up because, you know, that was all set up. And then it ends up.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it ends up betraying you and kind of setting up the rest. And then. Oh, shit. No, sorry. This is I accidentally just did a bunch of notes about the trespasser, since this game is literally Dragon Age Inquisition and it ends exactly the same. Fuck, Dylan, I messed it up.
I thought I was doing
all this research into Mass Effect Andromeda. Turns out I was just doing stuff in Dragon Age Inquisition again. I'm sorry. I fucked it up for you, Dil. I'm so sorry.
It's all right.
Anyway,
it's really
this
right
game is literally Dragon Age Inquisition is driving me fucking insane.
I know.
This ending segment is beat for beat almost exactly the same, and it's crazy.
It's Dragon Age Inquisition, the ending before Trespasser, basically.
The ending before Trespasser, exactly.
Yeah.
And then it's like, and then they even do the like Trespasser setup for like an expansion DLC of like, oh, we found the Quarian ship. And I was like, oh, what the fuck? This is just Dragon Age Inquisition. This is so crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway. Anyway. It's our last.
Let's get into it. Let's get into the.
Let's get into
the meat and potatoes of this. So.
Yeah.
We know now that this place that we had found, this big city, right, is not actually Meridian, but now we are trying to track down.
No.
Where Meridian actually is. So there's another like probing mission where you're just sort of like bleeping off into space and, you know, finding out what.
Yeah, you're doing little bleeps and bloops.
What your bleeps hit.
In this time, whilst your crew is doing bleeps and bloops, my rider had sex with every single member of the ship.
Talk to me about
it. This polyamorous run that I'm doing, it's actually sick as hell.
All right, who's the best worst dish? Dish, sister. Tell me.
And sister, you're so good at that.
Tell me.
I'm banging Reyes, which is real fun because he's like at the... There's a party, I think, with like a... There's like... you're at a party. This is before Sloane and Reyes like fight. You're at this party and then he like you're like fucking around doing something and then he locks the door the two of you in a room and then and then y'all making out and then you almost have sex and then he gets caught. I think someone else walks in and interrupts it. There's then a lot of like kissing and flirting until eventually with the when you fight Sloane. And when he does the bang and then kills Sloane.
Classic move.
He is then like, oh, sorry, I didn't tell you. yada, yada, yada. And then you can say, I don't even care. And then both of you make out a bunch. And then he runs away because he's like, I have to go manage all of these things. Had sex with Jarl. That is a good scene.
It's good, right?
Like it is good. I liked it a lot.
You have a male rider. Does he still go down on you?
Male rider. Yeah, he still goes down on you.
Aces, good.
Yeah, it's good shit. It's good shit, actually. It's like, it's horny to a degree where I was like, ooh.
I know. I went a little bit like this.
I'm like, ooh, maybe. Maybe I'm a little horned up right now. Vetra doesn't really have a sex scene, and I'm a little sad about that.
Wow.
PB does. PB has a very, very explicit sex scene. She meets you in your room. Because when she offers to have sex, if you're going to romance her, you say, no, not right now. Like, I want it to be real. I want it with strings. And then PB is like, oh, I've only had sex manual style. I've never done the embrace eternity with anyone before. Which is how the Asari have sex. Never had it.
Wow.
You do embrace eternity. You like... She is like, there is in the cutscene, she's full riding you. It's a full cowgirl, and then she does embrace eternity, and then it is the pair of you floating through like an infinite void of space and having sex. It's
okay.
It's pretty fucking awesome. It's good. It is the second sex scene in space, floating through the endless void of space. That I've had in these games. The next one being Gale of Waterdeep sex scene in Baldur's Gate 3, which is the best shit ever. It's so crazy. This is a very fun
I've heard good
kind
things.
Of one as well.
Yeah.
Then I had sex with Gil. That's a very fun one because I believe Gil is just exclusively gay.
He is.
So that's a very fun one too. To be a part of. It's fairly standard, but it's just fun and nice to see like a once again fairly explicit sex scene but with two guys. I like it. Fucking Ryder is the bottom or bottoms at that time, which is fun, I guess. I don't know who Gil is that much. To be fair, I'm like, I don't, it makes sense for my Ryder, but I'm like, I feel like it wouldn't make sense for all Ryders to be this. Anyway, matters not. I didn't have sex with Liam because I think they just hadn't got the... There is a couple going into this of scenes that break because I have so many romances. And this, I think, was one of them. I wasn't able to have a Liam sex scene because of being a boy, I imagine, and then it's just not programmed to work with that. Even though we did make out for a while earlier, so I don't really know what the deal is with that.
Okay.
Whom else? Did not sleep with Cora because for some reason her romance scene didn't proc, even though I've done absolutely everything with her. Didn't have it with
Lexi. She doesn't have sex. It's against her religion, no. I think.
Cora? No, yeah. Suvi is the religious one.
I know Suvi is the religious one, oh, but Cora, also Cora just seems like she goes to Bible study.
I'm glad you've come around with me on
this. I have.
That's good.
I did
That's
come
good.
Around. Her whole personality is like, is tattling. and she tattles. She tattles to the big guy, to the Lord.
I also didn't have a sex scene with Suvi, unfortunately. You can romance the reporter, but I didn't. Third conversation, so I wasn't able to do that. I did, however, do Liam's personal mission. Have you done Liam's personal mission? Did you do Liam's personal mission?
Which one? The movie night one?
No. The literal comedy episode where like he's trying to do something with the Angarans and then a group that he's doing things sneakily with them because he keeps coming up with like harebrained schemes to help everyone.
Yeah.
And then there's a ship that gets jumped by pirates, kind of because of him. And yeah. then he's like, don't worry, I have a plan to fix this. And then the plan is stupid and doesn't work. And the whole episode yes. is a comedy. And it yeah. has actually one of my favorite visual jokes. I mean, straight up my favorite visual joke that this whole game has, where when the cat is on screen and talking to you like an evil supervillain, you have the option to turn it off. And then there is a, like, mid him monologuing, you just turn it off. Turn the computer off. And then later, he reappears again. You and Liam are arguing about the efficiency yeah. of his plan and how badly he fucked up. And he appears again. And Liam turns it off. And then he reappears. He's like, how dare you ignore me? And then you turn it off. And Ryder and Liam are arguing with each other, just constantly turning the supervillain yes. off. And I audibly, like, cackled. It's
yeah, it
so
really
funny. It's yeah. so good. And then he, like, kicks. And then he, like, opens the airlock. And you're, like, flying out. And you're just making a bunch of quips all the time. It is the comedy episode.
It's the comedy thing. Episode, yeah, for
and it's
sure.
really good as well.
It is.
Really,
I agree.
Endeared me to Liam a lot.
I was already cute. Sold on Liam, but oh my god, yeah, that was very good.
For some reason, I feel like Liam doesn't do a lot or isn't very relevant, which is how I find a lot of the human characters in Mass Effect. They start very relevant and then very quickly become irrelevant.
I do agree. I don't know if it's because I liked Liam a little bit right away, so I kept him around a lot, that he felt more important, because I definitely felt that way about Cora. I was like, at the end, I was like, oh, and what is your thing again?
Yeah.
I forgot about you.
Oh my God.
But yeah, I do feel generally that that's how Mass Effect treats the human characters.
The human characters. Because it's like, Drak for me is so integral the whole way through.
But again,
I had Drak in basically never leaving my party. Like, he was my main boy. But then I'm like, whenever you go to Eladrin, to New T'Chanka, like, he is so relevant to every plot.
You need him
there.
In New T'Chanka.
You know, I feel like, I mean, Jarl is unequivocally the most important companion.
Jarl is,
he's like
is
the lead character.
Yeah, he's tied into almost every, like, bit of the main story, and then also, like, some of the subplots as well. Like, he feels like a natural main character.
Yeah, like a main character.
And then Vetra is just so fucking interesting.
Oh, God. Man, I love her. I love her. I love her whole plot. I literally love driving around with her. She's great. She has great banter with everyone, which I think
okay.
is
Did you do
good.
Liam's movie night thing?
I didn't.
Okay.
I found the movies, but I didn't get the option to ever.
Because, okay, here's the thing. After you find the movies, and this is tough because you have to be reading these stupid fucking emails and you have to be, like, hunting people down on the ship. But after you find the movies, it's not over. Then Liam is like, okay, we need snacks for a movie night. There's some fruit on the Angaran planet. I can turn it into a snack or something, or somebody says that.
Yeah.
Anyway, you get him the fruit, and then everybody on the ship starts complaining that the fruit snacks smell terrible and they don't want them. And so then a couple different people are like, I'll show you real snacks. Real snacks are nice. This. And then they send you on a little goose chase to go find the real snacks. They're all pretty easy. Most of them are for sale in a shop. They're not like things you have to go find
yeah,
in the wild or anything. One of them, I think, is literally like popcorn and nuts or something like that, that you can just buy at a base. Once you get all the snacks, then you have to get like a big projector set up like so that everybody can watch at once. Then an argument happens about what movie we should watch. It winds up being a bad movie. Like, we pick, like, kind of a B movie to watch bad on purpose, yeah. which I think is fun. And then everybody has a movie night. Deeply cute scene. There is, like, a good little montage. You clearly get to sit next to your main romance partner. And there's some cuteness there. But at the end of it, there's a, like, badly acted death scene in the movie, and everybody's complaining about how badly acted it was, and then everybody bullies Ryder to see if she can do better. And so then, and so then Ryder and, Salarian on your ship.
Callow
gets up and pretends to die so Ryder can have a big dramatic reaction. And it's cute. It's fun.
That's
a good little scene.
That is
good
cute.
Little scene.
I do like this crew, I gotta say. Mm-hmm. I like this crew and I like
all of their
interactions. I think it's nice. No, it's neat.
Nothing wrong with them.
Nice.
So that's all I did during the signal. Beautiful. Fishing.
Yeah. Sick. But then we signal fish. We find where it is. It doesn't.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't actually super remember how. I just feel like I know that Suvi just kind of finds it.
When you just ejaculate into space enough times, Suvi then just knows
information.
Yeah. that's what happens. Yeah. But so then you we go down to what is really Meridian.
Oh, hang on.
What?
No, we don't.
Oh no, because we do go to this
we have to go back to the city.
Yeah.
And then with the city, we are going to find essentially last known coordinates, and then we're going to follow that. Something like this.
Yes.
Uh-huh. We go there.
Sam, like, sets it up so that we can control all the remnants.
Sam does our deus ex machina, is just like, yeah, I can do kind of anything all the time.
It
doesn't matter what it is. I can connect to everything, and it's the world's most boring thing. However, we get there. Then, when we're uploading stuff, Archon then speaks in our mind. It is the final, like, these are the final moments. We've already done the point of no return. The Archon is like, haha, when you went onto my ship and you started fucking around with Sam by, like, turning off your, like, doing stuff to get out of the cuffs and all this, I, like, was able to hack into Sam from there, or like something where like he's speaking in our mind and turns Sam off, basically.
Yeah.
And it's because of the time that we went into the Archon ship. So my complaint of I wish that this was more relevant kind of is a little more relevant. It comes up later. It's how the Archon is able to get one over on us. Big dramatic scene where we are we've like lost connection to Sam, and therefore lost connection to being able to interact with remnant artifacts.
Right, because the Archon has gained access to Sam and now knows what we know, knows how to get to Meridian, knows how to how to use Sam, just needs like access to it, cuts off our ability to use Sam, but then decides that like we're not worth the trouble. And then instead is like, well, I know where there's another Sam.
Yeah, because he just needs the physical version of it to jack into his own head.
Exactly.
And that's what he wants.
Yeah.
And then our twin.
Yep.
It cuts to our twin. The Hyperion is blowing up and going crazy mode. We then play as them, running around shooting shit.
We play as our twin, as our sibling. Ryder is dead, by the way. Ryder appears to be completely dead.
Yes, because in the reason why Sam fully gains access to the sibling is because the previous Pathfinder doesn't die, but I mean, him being cut off, he's essentially dead. He's going to die. It uploads into the twin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is that three times? Three times Ryder has died?
Yes, it is. It's the third.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we play as our twin, as our sibling. You wake up as twin Ryder, and oh my God, your twin Ryder on the Hyperion, and it's under attack. If they had made our sibling any part of this game at all, this moment would have gone so fucking nuts.
It would have been cool. I liked it. I liked it, but I do agree that, like, if they were any more relevant, this would be really sick.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking of, like, playing Joker when the ship's under attack and how, like, holy shit, I'm Joker.
Like, yeah, that's like, true, actually. Yeah,
like
I get
this,
that.
You know, my sibling is kind of just like, I met him, like, 2 days ago. but yeah, no, you get a gun and then you fight your way out and you have to like it to like transfer Sam back to your sibling to wake Ryder up and revive Ryder.
It's actually like without Sam, Ryder is dying. Ryder is going to die.
Yeah. Well, because Sam has the ability to restart Ryder's heart again, as we've learned from
previous.
So the only chance for Ryder to survive is to have cardiopulmonary resuscitation, which, sure, I guess in the future, you can just have that and then continue to fight in a battle. and that's what the government right now is trying to convince me. Cardiopulmonary resuscitation is done to fucking Mitch McConnell. They're trying to convince me that Mitch McConnell had a heart attack and Sam just went, boom, boom, you're alive again.
You're back.
You're back.
Go fight in war.
Go back to government. And that's what they're trying to convince me of. Anyway, you go ahead.
As she's uploading Sam back into Ryder, or as they are uploading Sam back into Ryder.
Yeah.
The Archon is officially above the Hyperion and then captures your sibling. We then cut back to Ryder. And Ryder's doing this whole thing where they're walking real fucking slow. Goes over to the, like, remnant tech. And even when he's not connected to the remnant tech, is able to like interact with it and interface with it in like a very minor way, but it takes a lot of effort for him.
Almost kills that every time, pretty much.
And this is so minor. I don't like that. I think it's so. It's a bit of like, it's a very very minor criticism, but it's very like, I don't know. It just feels. It's like, why can no one else interact with it if we can interact with it without Sam?
Right. What is making Ryder? Why is Ryder the chosen one? Why is Ryder magic?
And is like, it's like him like trying really hard to interface with it, and it's like, stop! It's gonna kill you. It's like, why is it gonna kill me?
Somebody I'm just trying else to interact. Try with then it. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just a fucking computer, right? Like. Anyway, it's not a computer. It's ancient magical runes because this is a fantasy magic game. Anyway, comes back to us. Ryder then, now that Sam is back, ends up, everything is, it's looking like everything is all lost. Oh no, oh beans. And then Ryder makes a bunch of the remnant tech on what we thought was Meridian, the city. Wake back up and is now fighting for us. It's like shooting at a bunch of Ket ships that are in the air.
Yeah.
And then we're making the big jump to Meridian. Because now we know where it is. We have to beat them there. Gives an absolutely dog shit speech. Another complete stinker.
Another one. Can't say words to save their life.
Just can't do an interesting speech ever. We fly to the Meridian. There's a space fight scene. I love a space fight. I think this one is a little weak because there's a big thing. So the Scourge in this, I have missed this and I understand this. I don't really get what the Scourge is. It's tech, right? It's like a technology that the...
Yes.
That these Jardans have left behind.
Yeah. In with it, the intent to do what they've been doing. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we're flying in. There's no way we can beat all these Kett ships. That's okay. The Scourge is following us, and we are faster than the Scourge and faster than the Kett ships.
Love this part,
so
baby.
What we're
I love
do
this part. This is
we are gonna kite the Scourge into the Kett ships as we're
hell
flying.
Yeah. It's just cool. Like Galaxy Quest. It's just
as all good art is. It's just like Galaxy Quest.
I was like, man, do you think you can get us closer to these mines? It's so Galaxy Quest. Love it. I'm so proud of them. I like that part.
Yeah, I like that part as well. I did like it. There was a lot of like, I like a lot of this. I kind of wish. It's fine. It doesn't matter. I liked this bit. It was good. The Meridian opens up. It is a giant, like, tech planet. I love a tech planet.
It's a
everything
moon.
It's a moon.
Or it's like a type of planet the size of a moon, I guess, or something
like
that. Yeah.
The planet is like all on the inside walls. Shout out to the Atomless. I love this stuff. You go into the Meridian. It's a very fun reference to Mass Effect 1. They drop the Nomad because they can't stop ever. So instead of stopping, they just throw the Nomad to the ground, and then you're driving through this like beautiful, very lush planet.
Gorgeous, yeah.
Everyone is here. Everyone you have ever spoken to is talking to you on comms, like, don't worry, we got this. Pew, 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 and destroying little things. And I'm like,
yeah, and there's
this is very fun.
Happening in the distance. We can see, like, the Kett ships coming in and, like, landing where we know we have to go. So, like, it's a cool. This part made me think this was gonna be a fucking epic finale. Like,
yeah.
Driving in, I was like, this is gonna be, because like,
I don't
about
mean
it,
to say it again, but it made me think like this is gonna be a Mass Effect 1.
Yes.
Where you drive the fucking you drive, I forget the name of the car, but you drive it into the Mass Effect beam, landing onto the Citadel, and you fight your way up the Citadel whilst there's like sky battles against this one sovereign Reaper. Oh my god, what a fucking
or
ending.
Even like
I thought it was going to be very similar to that.
Yeah, I also think too, like, I was getting this feeling that, like, you know how like the Veil Guard had that like really epic final fight, even though the rest of the game was like kind of dog shit.
I did really. I
right.
I also
like
thought
I was
of the
kind
Veil Guard
of feeling like, oh my god, I feel like they're gonna do. I feel like they're gonna do it right now.
They're gonna do
I feel
something,
like they're gonna
and it's gonna
get
be sick.
Me. Yeah.
Yeah.
But this
I will
part
say
was good.
I'm gonna. This part was good. I'm gonna be a little bit of a. I'm gonna put a little bit of a thing that I didn't like. Captain Dunn, who is the captain of the Hyperion, drives the Hyperion into the ground in a way that I have absolutely no understanding of the relevance of why she did that.
So
it's because
Kett
was on board, I guess?
Yes. Kett was on board, and Kett were going to literally, they were going to destroy the ship with all of the sleeping inhabitants. Basically, everyone's, all of those races' entire futures. The reason we came here to like to keep the species alive, they were going to destroy it. They were going to take it. They were going to destroy it.
And then she tells everyone to get back to cryo, and then crashes the ship on purpose.
Exactly, saving the people in cryo. Of course, also like I don't know that her intention was necessarily to crash the ship, but to like. Get it away, but regardless, cryo is intact.
Okay, I didn't read that. When that was happening, I was like, "What is the relevance of this?" Surely there's. I thought that she was going to drive the Hyperion into another ship to like save a bunch of people, because that was the kind of vibe that I was getting from it.
Yeah, but the Hyperion has all of the sleeping
people
on it, so they can't.
Then we get inside the Meridian kind of center.
Yeah.
Looks great. Looks really cool.
It's beautiful. Is this where we find all the other gravity well?
Is another gravity well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, that's where we are.
All of the remnant are like pointing us in directions.
Yes. Yes.
Like they're leading us toward this toward this center point.
And they're not attacking us. We go along. And they're not attacking us. Even though we no longer have control over them at all.
Yeah. We get all the way in to the center, and it turns out, oh no, they beat us. The Archon and the Ket are already front and center. They're already hooking themselves up. Turns out Sarah was hooked up to the machine, and that's why all the Remnant weren't attacking us and were leading us here, because she was actually controlling them and leading us here. And then the Archon plugs himself in, and we have to do a boss fight that IMO fucking sucks. Boring and bad.
It was pretty boring.
It was pretty boring. I unfortunately had to redo this fight a couple times because I kept sequence breaking it by getting to places where they didn't want me to go. There's a couple of bits with like big gaps, and I looked at the gap and I was like, I could jump that, just like what happened last time we played when I sequence broke Jarl's mission by being like, this isn't a big gap, I can jump this gap. And then it turns out that makes the game freak out if you sequence break it. So I had to do this a couple of times. It's just kind of, you're just kind of shooting a lot of guys.
It's just kind of a fight. Yeah.
There's one.
It's big time.
I believe
Corypheus.
It's called the Architect. There's one Architect, but it's not really a threat. You just kind of shoot it occasionally when Sarah tells you to. And then you do a couple of things.
Yeah, that's true. This thing is like, this is like a massive
remnant
piece of remnant tech that I thought was going to be like shooting at us and like killing us, but it like really doesn't.
No.
You just like, you have to go and disable like bits. It's very Mass Effect where you're going and like disabling bits, fighting remnant tech.
Sarah
off.
Is like yelling like, go do this. We're like, okay.
Yeah, and then you're going to different parts. All the while, though, because your sibling has not mastered, like, managing remnant tech and, like, controlling remnant tech, and is also presumably very injured already, your sibling is, like, struggling very hard and, like, seems like they're maybe getting close to dying. And there's a moment where, like, there's one more to go, and your sibling, like, tells you like they can keep going, but they do sound like they're dying.
Yeah. And I thought this is where this was gonna go.
Yeah.
I thought it was like, we're either gonna be able to stop the Archon, but our sibling dies, or we save the sibling, but the Archon gets away, we lose remnant tech, something like that. Nothing so dramatic. Also, this final boss fight is broken up to three phases. All of them is a wave clear. You kill all the wave of Ket, you tip, tip, tap, do a little interaction where you're just interacting. You're holding down one button to interact with a hacking port.
Yeah.
And then you move on to the next section, you clear that wave. In the third and final wave, the rest of your team shows up in like a hover fly vehicle, because I got a message. I saw PB and Liam jump off and be like, leave some for us, and then hop off and then fight some enemies. And I was like, gang, straight up don't need you. I've so got a handle on this. I'd really prefer it if you did go save my sister if you can. That would be sick. Can
that
you shoot the Archon whilst I'm doing something right now? Anyway, they do that. You then stop it, and then the Archon gets like electric shocked because he's all hooked up to everything, and then he dies, right? He just dies. He just falls to the ground and dies. And then you pick up Sarah, or your sibling. You all walk out, and then I got when you see all the sunlight and, oh my God, we won. It's so great. I got a little bit that was like, Vetra came over to me and said, hey, do you want to ditch these losers? And I was like, yeah. And then we went and we like canoodled a bit.
Cute.
And then the game ends.
Yeah.
It's
presumably
bad.
Yeah.
Presumably. There's presumably. A little, there's an epilogue. There's a little epilogue. There is one bit that we didn't cover.
Mm.
Before you get to Meridian, you do have a final romance scene with someone. Because I know for you, God. Jarl is on the bridge and you have a nice conversation.
Oh, that's right.
And the way
yes.
I know that is that my game glitched so bad because it couldn't decide who to put
who
on the bridge.
Who was your main, yeah.
That my, it was, Jarl physically was there. Mm. Ryder was speaking in sentences that literally made no sense because no one was speaking back to him. And the topic of each of the sentences changed. But not only that, the camera was zooming violently in and out of like out the window on a light bulb, like fully like on a tiny little light bulb in a corner of the ship.
That's so
and was
funny.
Like zooming in and out of things because it didn't know what to focus on or where to go. So I straight up have no idea what happens in this scene. I just know it was a final romance scene.
No, it's just cute. It's just a cute conversation and a smooch. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. But it's nice. It's a nice one.
Game ends. Roll credits. Skip credits. Then there is sequel bait of...
oh, yes. Sequel bait happens
there's
first.
There's a cat.
Well, we've learned that the Archon is actually like just some sort of like...
The Archon
basic
is just a general in this army.
Right. And
which
so
we know,
I
and
think
then
we're
it's...
supposed to assume that this is like an actual big deal.
But he looks the same as the all of the Ket. The Archon
because
at least had like a distinctive look.
The alien design in these games is kind of like that. Everyone
the Archon
looks
has
the
a
same.
Unique design, though. The Archon has the whole halo. It's at least cool looking. If you're going to give me a big general that's bigger than him, make him look weirder. Anyway.
I agree with you. I do agree with you.
He looks kind of trash. Yeah. Anyway, it's sequel bait. Oh my God, the Ket's there. The Ket is genuinely... If this was to be a trilogy, they are an exclusively episode, like, first movie villain. The Ket are not
yes.
a three-movie villain. Don't
Correct.
Try to play them as a three-movie
no,
villain
No, because
to me.
Next, if you were going to make this a trilogy, the next thing, the only other thing I want to see is the Jardin. I
the only
see,
thing
like,
is the Jardin.
That is
show
the,
me
that
an
is
alien that I've
out.
Literally never seen before watching this whole thing go
Who
down.
Who think they're gods and have created like half the species that we've encountered.
Just yeah. do that. That's
do
sick
that.
As hell. Like,
that's the interesting
the
story.
I know. It's crazy that they tried to pull the Ket as a threat. When it's like the Ket are not interesting.
It's
honestly, at the best of times, they're not interesting. Anyway. Then... We wake up, our sibling is on the bed because they've been out for a couple of weeks. We're yeah. back on the net. No, we're back on the Hyperion. We're not on the Nexus. Yep. We walk out of the front door. It is... did you read your emails?
I did. Of course I did. Yes.
You have emails from...
Yeah, you have emails. You have several... I'm going to say this. Kind of... Weak and pathetic little references to Dragon Age that I found so undermining and not at all. Like, you couldn't put, like, a tiny... Like, okay, you know what I think is cute? V. Tethrys, I'd like to write a book about this. That's kind of cute.
That's cute.
But, like, the Anders one that's like, let's go blow shit up or something like
blow the
or,
roof off this.
Let's
yeah.
blow the roof off this place.
There's one from Hawk, Avalyn, Sarah has one.
Do you know what this makes me feel? These emails make me feel like they, like someone on the writer's team knew that no more of these games were being made. And that they were just doing like a
the
cute
majority...
little homage and not yeah. like because some of the references previously were were made in a way that made it seem like these worlds existed in the same universe. This is kitschy silliness that's like,
oh, this is nothing. Yeah.
That's just like, yeah, we're just like, we're
there
just saying
that.
There is
one from Neve Gallas as well from Veilguard. I need to check on this. I'm fairly certain that Neve Gallas was added later.
Probably.
But everyone else was originally in the game, was originally in the thank yous in the game. Also, a thing which personally I like a lot.
What?
99% of the Dragon Age emails were from characters from Dragon
Age 2. Characters from Dragon Age 2.
Yeah,
from the greatest city in the world. Yeah.
From the greatest city in the world that now have Wi-Fi and internet access. Because the only thing in Dragon Age that survives is Kirkwall. you go outside. It is... oh my god, Kesh? Is that her name? The Tyrion?
Kesh? Oh, Kesh, yeah. Kesh.
Kesh. Tarn and two other characters are waiting for you. And they say that they are making a Galactic Council. This was the whole plan, is that they're making a Galactic Council. But they need
someone to be
the correspondence to the Angarans.
Yeah.
You have a fun thing where you can... you have four choices. You have the Angaran, the Moesh... Moshai.
Addison is the other person that the Addison, person that I don't like it, thank from you. The Hyperion.
If Moshai, who's an Angaran, can be your correspondence, you can make Krogan's the correspondence.
Yes, Nakmor-Morda.
You can have it be the Salarian Pathfinder.
Yes.
Or you can have it be Bradley, who is the leader of... Yes.
Yeah.
If you click on them, you have to actually click and confirm, because every single time you click, some people give the pros and cons of each.
Yeah, thing. You're like, the first round is like you being like, well, what about this person? And they're like, oh, interesting.
Yeah, gosh, and interesting. Then some people like it, like Tarn hates the idea of the Krogan, whereas
Kesh
laughs at it and is like, oh, that would piss a lot of people off.
Yeah.
You have the Salarian Pathfinder, which is like, I mean, yeah, I guess that's the normal one, but it's not very inspiring. Another Salarian being in charge.
Also, I think the thing human was like, oh, he's we're good putting a Pathfinder a in charge, like, kind of adds to the conspiracy that, like, the Pathfinders, like, came to control everybody, or, like, are using Sam to control. Like, it just, like, would would be a bad look.
The human guy is like, he is a really good leader of a small group. We have no idea how he's going to work on a big scale. And then the Moshai is like, sure, but we want someone to be the bridge between Angarans. An Angaran being the bridge is not really what we're after. Well, who did you go for?
So...
Hey, you! You don't look familiar. First time in this part of the city? I see that sneer on your face. Better wipe it off before I do it for you. This is home. This is the best place you could ever want to be. Whether or not this is where you meant to end up, you found yourself on a rather fortuitous street. You see that corner building down there? 3 floors up. Lamplight Investigative Services. Friends of mine, you ask. Loaded words you're throwing around this evening. Good people is what they are, though. Not a single one of them will admit to being nice. Something about duty, yada yada. A bunch of BS, if I do say so myself. Who am I? No need to worry your pretty little head about that. I'm sure my name will come up in time. But go. See for yourself, 3 floors up, gold-gilded sign. As for Mama, don't tell him I sent you. She'll know what to do.
All doors are just windows that we can't see through. You ever think about that?
We provide our patrons with anonymity.
Hello, this is Mama Amaretta speaking.
Lamplight Investigations, a Thirsty Sword Lesbian's noir mystery. Full season available now on QueerPG.
I Will Die on the Hill that using music and ambience to set the scene is the best way to get your TTRPG players immersed in your game. But a lot of the times, I found it incredibly hard to juggle GMing and switching music in the moment. That was until Pocket Bard came along. Pocket Bard is a free, easy-to-download app that comes with ready-to-use scenes, ambiences, and a beautiful intensity slider. So when the mood changes on the fly, so can you. And now, Pocket Bard has come from your pocket to the PC with the launch of their desktop app. And with free RPG Day around the corner, what a fantastic time to get your group together, no matter where they are, and play some new games with the help of Pocket Bard. Download it today directly from the Pocket Bard website and enjoy prepping less and playing more.
So basically it's an ambassador. What we're picking is we're picking an ambassador to the Nexus. And someone who's gonna represent like the interests of all these worlds and help with that. I just felt that the ambassador for the Nexus for this Galactic Council or whatever, because we're gonna have all of these other, you know, people on the council. I thought it was really interesting that one of the ideas was to have a Krogan and give the Krogan like their
finally
their due, you know, and stuff. So that was one I lingered on for a bit. But then I was like, okay, the Nexus did get here. And yes, we did terraform these planets. The Angara got here long before us and opened up the possibility for us to do so. The only reason we have any access to any of these terraforming is because the Angara decided to trust us and let us in. So I was like, I was very tempted by Nakmor Morda, but in the end, I went for the Moshai.
I, fun fact, was also very tempted to go with the Krogans, but then I was like, it makes absolutely no sense for my rider to pick Krogans.
Nope.
None, like, it makes sense for Shepard to pick the Krogans, because Shepard has been in the trenches with them and, like, knows their struggle and helped do all this stuff. It doesn't make sense for Ryder. He's just kind of hanging around and being there. I also picked the Moshai, because I'm literally the exact same thought process. I'm like, I mean, this is their zone. If we want an ambassador, it's like they kind of gotta, like, they gotta be okay with a lot of stuff we're doing. And hey, listen, I hate Tarn as much as the next guy, and I know for a fact that that guy is, when a Galactic Council is made, is going to fight for Angarans not to be on it. And I'm like,
he's going to. Absolutely. And it's like, that guy, it's for like, sure.
This place, it needs, it's Krogan. Honestly, there's not even a high-ranking Asari here, which I think is actually crazy. It's the first time. I didn't know Mass Effect knew how to do that.
You're right.
It's going to be Salarian, Krogan, Turian, and Angaran, I think.
As well as human. Gonna be five pissed, people.
And even though I'm like, I agree with the fact that I don't think, I mean, I agree with the fact that I think that Krogans should have a stronger voice on the council, but I'm also like, they're still kind of fractured. Like, their whole storyline was them, you know, being exiled and they're currently struggling. And it's like, I've kind of, you know, New Tuchanka is now being rebuilt, but, it's the Moshai. I just feel like that's kind of the only real option. This Commander Bradley guy, I don't give a fuck about him. I don't know who this dude is. He's the leader of Pomodoro.
And I did like
great.
Him.
And that's great.
I just, I actually just agreed that, like, it felt weird to be like, yeah, making our, like, everything except the Moshi felt weird. Like, being like, yeah, Bradley's great. He's also, like, the first guy settling this planet that we were only able to settle because the Angarans were being killed. Like,
yeah,
like, I'm just like, yeah, no, he was pretty good. I feel that the Moshi should really take this job.
And then it's like, oh, all the Solarian Pathfinder. And I'm like, no, dude, what the fuck? Like, no. I get it. I'm sure he's a great guy.
That was the only one where I was like,
nope. He did steal the codes.
Yeah.
He did steal the codes and he helped us, you know, get out. But I'm fully like, no, I don't want, I think that's a silly idea. Like,
it is.
And I'm going to be so real. If there was to be someone who's an ambassador, in my mind, it should be Ryder. Ryder should be the ambassador.
Oh, God. But God, I don't like them. So
no, but that is what you've been doing this whole game, is being an ambassador.
Yeah, that's true.
And flying
that's
around
true.
And terraforming stuff and, like, helping everyone possible. It's like, I mean, it should really be Ryder.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then you get a little, you get the trespasser bait of, oh, hey, we found the Quarian ship.
Yeah.
This is what's going on and then they're like, oh, yeah, it's the Quarian and the Elcor and the Volus, and they're all on that ship somewhere, and we found where they are, or the general area. And did I like this game a lot? No. Am I kind of sad that we haven't gotten this expansion, because I think it would have been pretty interesting? Yeah, it kind of sucks. I'm sad about it.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely. Which answers our first question from the Discord, by the way. Which was,
oh, yes,
what hinted at things, you know, would you like to see out if played out across the two games that never got made? Which definitely is that one.
Definitely that one is number one for me. The Jardin.
Jardin, really, for sure.
Like the idea of. I hate Sam so much.
I hate Sam,
and I'm glad he's not in it anymore. There have been so many bits where they've been like, hey, do you know that Sam's gone? Hey, do you know that Sam's a villain? And it was just hinted at. But like in like a, oh, are they going to say this and make this character interesting? But they never do. And I just think
they never do. No, Sam is
least
just
interesting thing.
ChatGPT.
And part of me is like, man, if I had to deal with that fucking guy for two more games.
No.
Such a nothing creation.
New T'Chanka would be great. I mean, it would be a great opportunity to, like, across two games, to really have, like, a immerse, like, having, like, a Krogan city that we could regularly go to and explore and be a part of and stuff would have been really cool to, like, actually get to see how New T'Chanka evolves and changes and differs from T'Chanka and also to see like maybe an alternate wink at a cure or treatment for the genophage.
I would like if there were sequels for them to be like 5 to 10 years in the future, so you can really see the like growth of these settlements.
Yeah, that'd be sick as hell.
Yeah,
actually,
that'd be really cool.
Next question.
I really don't care about Ket to like a weirdly chronic level, which is upsetting.
That's
the only thing
nothing.
That I'm really not excited to revisit. I find them so boring.
They're so boring.
No, go on next.
Yeah. Next one is, do you wish the little, like, 5-5 of this data pad, transmission, explosive, corpse, and a new location will unlock, side missions carried more weight? My opinion on that is that, yes, kind of, but then I also wish this wasn't an open world game. Like, those kinds of quests find five of this and something will unlock. Like, that's just, that's what open world games are like. And like, yeah. I wind up having a good time with an open world game like that sometimes. Not all of those can have more weight. I wish something that I really liked is like, if they don't have a lot of weight, give me like some kind of comment on them, especially because we have the ability to have banter and stuff like that. I wish that less things were exclusively text-based.
Sure.
Like, give me a little comment that like tells me something fun and cool audibly. But that's really it. Other than that, like, yeah, I kind of wish they had more weight, but then this would not be an open world game. Because you simply can't have 4 million quests that all carry weight.
It is my main problem with these types of games is, as we have played and discussed, I infinitely enjoy a curated experience of a game rather than an open world, here's just a bunch of shit that you can do. And it's like, great, I love a bunch of shit that I can do. The problem with that is immediately you have to water down what is actually good. And it's weird. It got to the point where I felt like the main mission was kind of just more of the side mission content, which is, I mean, go here, do this kind of mind numbing thing for a bit. It is just my problem with open world stuff. I also, the thing about the open world is, it is not fun to get around. They've made it a little more expressive, like the car you can, the Nomad, you have a lot of stuff in, but it's like,
yes,
traveling from planet to planet is kind of annoying. I don't know. There's just a lot of stuff where I'm like, it's just kind of, and I like the locations. Like, I do enjoy the difference in each zone. Like, I can kind of drive and get around pretty much every area because I recognize it. It's not so big that you get lost in it, but it's not so small that it's just like completely constricting, except for Havarl, which I do not like at all. It's beautiful, but you can't drive in it, so getting from A to B is fucking annoying.
It's so small, it's the most pain in the ass place to get around.
Because it's like, what do you mean, it's gonna, instead of it taking me like 2 minutes to get across, it's gonna take me five? Shut the fuck up.
I don't have time for this.
I do not have time for this. Were you both terribly disappointed they didn't incorporate a Tower of Hanoi puzzle into the game? Yeah.
Oh my god.
Every BioWare game has to have one in it.
Do you know what? I could not believe it. I didn't realize until I read that this is the like first game that didn't have one of these.
I tell you what, we don't have Tower of Hanoi. We do have Sudoku.
We have so many Sudokus.
It's pretty good. I actually like this Sudoku. I like how they've changed it. I think the pictures are a little annoying because they're not numbers, and it's like numbers is a language that you know. But I like the fact that it's not only rows and columns, but it is also the shapes in the rows and columns.
Very cool.
I kind of fuck with it a little
bit.
I could have fun with doing a couple of them if there was a game of just those Sudokus.
I'll say this right now. I could have had a couple more that were like...
There was, in one of the last missions, there was one.
That was really
and
challenging.
And it was so good. It was really satisfying to get.
Yeah, anyway, agreed. Yeah. I completely agree. And Sister...
You're so good at that. did you enjoy the expanded movement / combat from the original trilogy?
Yes.
This game's
the best part.
I'm going to tell you this right now. This game's combat is actually kind of fucking...
Oh, it's so fun.
Up. I actually like it a lot. Being a sniper in this game is... It's just so fucking fun.
It's so sick.
Admittedly, I had a mod to have like an expanded... roster of skills, and one of them was a an Overwatch Widowmaker style see-through walls, which increased your piercing damage and also highlighted every single enemy around you, which was A, really good because a lot of enemies kind of blended to the background. So having them outlined was great. B, I was getting like double kill headshots on the other side of a wall before these enemies had spawned, like had spawned their pathing to me. Shit was fucking crazy. I was clearing rooms before they knew that they were rooms to be cleared. It was good.
Yeah,
and also hovering jetpack. I like the dodge mechanic of like dash, like the quick dash you do is really fun. I like the fact you don't pick a class at the beginning. You build the class that you want.
Yes.
And then
I
you're
really
getting like perks
that.
To that. I think that's really fun.
Yeah.
I will admit I would prefer that the game had more skills or it was harder to get, because for the past three episodes of us recording, I have clicked auto level up every time because I have no need. Like I have three skills that I have put to max. I put them to max really fast. And then the next few weeks I did all of my passives, and then past that I didn't care what I was leveling up because I wasn't going to use it.
Oh, interesting.
I had fun with it
because I wound up changing my class twice towards the end.
That's cool. I like that. I do like that,
so
actually.
I did
That's
like
fun.
It. What I might do, which is the next question, is would you change or keep the same, you know, gameplay elements
in
Mass
Effect
5
when it eventually comes up?
I might say that the combat and all of the skills and stuff are so good. I might tighten up the classes
a little bit.
And I might say that, like, you know, let's, like, to have a rotation that there's fewer of, but they're different enough that it really makes a difference when you change them mid-combat, which you can do.
Sure.
Or like, you know, mid-story. So like for like Ryder to go out and change their entire class, like I feel like should really have a bigger
have a
impact.
Little bit more weight.
So like to like consolidate them into like maybe just a few and really make the differences pop like crazy. I think that could be
a bit like in the switch between Dragon Age Origins and Dragon Age 2, where in Dragon Age Origins, picking a subclass is a genuine huge big moment, and in Dragon Age 2 it doesn't mean anything, and it doesn't mean anything. I like the fact that you can fully customize it, but I would like it if they were like, no, your class means something.
It matters to this
maybe
character.
Interacting with the story or conversations in a way that's like,
yeah,
you know, oh, I can do this. Like, you know, there's two options for a mission that you're talking about, and someone's like, oh, well, because you're a sniper, you would probably be better here. And like people like referencing it, I think would be fun.
Yes. Oh, God.
I like it when a class matters and when it actually means.
Yeah.
Like it means something to the character to be that type of thing. Because as well, the thing is like in this, if my rider was a biotic, I would like that to have story weight rather than if my rider was like a technician, because then it's like, well, I have Sam, can I interact with Sam more or do more stuff because I'm good with tech and I'm good with hacking?
Or
it's like, is Sam, can I interact with Remnant better because I'm a biotic and I'm doing like weird magic shit, and we could have a whole story with that. And I just think that would be kind of neat.
It would be neat.
Yeah. What is another type of alien you would want to encounter in the Andromeda Galaxy beyond the Angaran and the Ket?
Well, besides hopefully new ones, which I think would be interesting because we are in an entirely new galaxy. I know that they're teasing that we are gonna encounter the Quarians and
Elcor.
If they bring back the Elcor and
simply make
them background characters again, I'm gonna fucking lose it. Give me them.
Hey, listen, I'm going to say this. Do I want an Elcor companion? Absolutely, Blue Sky. Actually, if we're talking about other things, I want the next thing to meet to not be bipedal.
Yes.
I want it to be like be on all fours, be on like sixes. And I want it to be a companion because we just don't have any of that.
Yep.
Beyond, if they're like, no, we will not have Elcor be a companion, it's too hard, let me have an Elcor on the ship. Like, have any of the smaller races in Mass Effect be relevant in my crew.
In my day-to-day gameplay. I want these to feel like people and not decoration in the background. Like, that's what I'm desperate for.
Because it's like,
you know,
and
it's fun.
Like, yeah.
You know your little monkey rat thing?
Yeah.
What if it, like, I know it's not because they already said it wouldn't, because whatever. But what if that thing grows up and it, like, it's just like, it just happens to be like a fucking baby right now.
Yeah, it's like a guy. It like
grows
up to be a
person.
But
it grows up and it's like a guy and it's like, yeah.
That would be sick. I'd be super into that.
Yeah, it's like it grew up on the ship, so it's gonna know how to do something.
Do you know what I would like? This is actually interesting. Speaking of Mass Effect 5, Mass Effect 5 is taking place in the Milky Way galaxy.
Yeah,
I'd really fuck with it if Angarans turned up. I know that it's supposed to be like almost as direct sequel to Mass Effect 3, so they can't turn up. I would like a new species to.
Well,
like,
why can't
relevant.
They? Because the thing is that the Angarans ran away from their home for like a similar issue, right? And like ended up here.
Yeah.
What if they had an arc situation where it was like some of them went
they
in one direction and like the others went
the
here, like looking for a place?
That'd be pretty fun.
That'd be
cool.
Fun. That'd
be
cool.
I'd like that. I'd like, again, I'd like Mass Effect 5 to be about a new species coming in. Not about, maybe, but it just does. Also, make our team less human. I just really, like, and by less human, I don't mean less humans, because there's barely any. But I mean, like, I don't want
make
bipeds.
Make them freakier.
I want weird freaks. Give me a Hannah. I love those little jellyfish. I'd love for a Hannah to be on. Like, I don't know. There's just so much interesting stuff. It's why I like Legion so much. He's a he is bipedal, but he is a freak.
That's
slightly different to how everyone else is a freak. I feel like Legion is a freak.
Yes, agreed.
And I like that shit. I think it's cool. I really like Thane as well. Thane kind of gives me a similar, like, we never meet any other of his people. He's just like a weird kind of lizard guy. Admittedly, he's a hot lizard guy, so it doesn't really matter. But then
he is a hot lizard guy.
But anyway, I want something bizarre that's interesting.
Tell me your overall Andromeda feeling.
I think it's fine to under average, but
sure.
If someone was to say that they really liked it, I am at a point where I'm like, yeah, I get it. I like this crew a lot. If I was to play this when I was like 15, 16, I would absolutely fuck with this crew.
Yes, I get that. Yeah,
this
yeah,
is
yeah.
an incredible summer game. You're home from summer. You have the TV on in your fucking room, and then you just play a crazy amount of this game. It's like, I think there's a lot to find and there's a lot to do. My problem is it's just like, I feel like everything coming off the back of some games that we have played where it's like they really do a lot with what they have. I feel like Andromeda doesn't ever try to do things.
Yeah.
There's only some things that they're doing, and a lot of them are very cookie cutter and very, oh, this is where the Veil Guard gets it from. That I'm like, I don't
right,
know,
you
man.
See the
it's
path
just like,
where like the Inquisition to Andromeda to Vale Guard, where it's just like sort of this like, we're losing it.
It's a stock market, a little pop, pop,
yeah,
pop,
yeah,
pop,
yeah.
Pop.
Yeah.
And there's things which I really like. I think a lot of the characters, a lot of the characters are really good. The problem is, so Shepard is a little boring of a person.
Sure. Yeah.
The times when Shepard is the absolute best is in the Citadel DLC when they give them stuff to do and talk about and feelings to have, bits to to shoot the shit with people. That's the best. In this, they kind of want a little bit of both, to have someone you can imprint on and someone with feelings and emotions. But the feelings and emotions are the, oh, they're just going to kind of be a quirky, like, Joss Whedon written character.
And it's like, Ryder is not a blank slate, which is a valid way to do an RPG character, where you just kind of make them a little boring and you let people put their
own emotions into them.
Or a person whose personality changes based on your gameplay, which is like the Dragon Age 2 kind of thing.
Which is genuinely the best that anyone has ever done with that type of character.
Ryder is a cinnamon roll. And that sucks. I hate a cinnamon roll. I especially hate a cinnamon roll who is a military leader of any kind. This is a thing where, like, when I was deep in my Dragon Age, like heaviest fandom days, when I would read Dragon Age fan fictions where the Inquisitor was like a sweet small bean, I'd be like, that man routinely claims whole cities in the name. He, by definition, cannot be a small bean. He's at war.
He's at war. In it. You cannot be a small bean. You're at war.
You're at war. You cannot.
Get out of those quirky little pajamas and pick up your gun. What are you doing?
But what's interesting is that, like, people projected that onto the Inquisitor for their own, you know, fan fiction-y things. I didn't feel that the Inquisitor was written that way. In the Vale Guard, you're definitely written that way. And Ryder is absolutely written to be, like, kind of a cinnamon roll, small bean.
I agree. I do agree. I do not want to put, I don't like Ryder as a character. I don't think Ryder's great, but I do find Ryder a little charming. I want there to never be a sentence where we compare Ryder and Rook. Rook is
no, that's true.
So
I wouldn't
evilly
say,
written.
I know, I know. It's definite. Nothing is
nothing.
Nothing is like that.
Rook sucks. I don't. And I'm going to say this. Hey, listeners, do you like Rook? You are wrong. Rook.
I'll tell you what.
Fucking
I just
sucks.
Replayed Spiritfarer, and the writing from maybe the sweetest game I've ever played is less saccharine than the way Rook is written.
Did I just do that?
He's right behind me.
Isn't he?
But Ryder is a little bit too much of a cinnamon roll, a little bit too characterized to be sweet no matter what choices you make. And then the only thing is, I would also say about gameplay is, like, commit with the whole, like, quick time reactions. You took away 90% of it. It has nothing to do with Paragon Renegade anymore. You don't need to leave it in.
You don't need to.
You're allowed to just take it out.
That I like. Paragon Renegade being removed, best move that they've made.
Yes.
So good. Here's the payoff. Give me some shit to do then that's morally, like, it's not good and it's not bad. And it's like, it is a question. Like, morality is a discussion. Because we are colonizing a galaxy.
We are
terraforming planets. This, I can't remember if I've spoken about this, but I've thought about this every single time. We are terraforming planets that wildlife have grown to live on.
We did talk about this last time.
The ecological systems of this planet. The things we are doing, you can question as inherently evil. Like, we are killing entire ecosystems of things just so we can live on planets that we're already kind of living on. They're just a little harsh. Okay. There's tons of them out there. We don't need to be doing all this. Anyway, this game needs decisions.
It needs more decisions.
Even though it's like, you'd be like, there are decisions. I disagree that there are decisions.
Not really.
The only decision that I can think of is not destroying the Ket facility, the prison camp. And it is so outrageously irrelevant.
And then choosing to save the Krogan versus...
Oh, sure. Yeah, you save the Krogan versus the Salarian Pathfinder.
Yeah.
Is also mostly irrelevant. It's just pretty irrelevant because you name
a new Salarian Pathfinder immediately.
That is pretty relevant, actually. That actually does affect gameplay because Krogan, you name a new Salarian Pathfinder, but the Krogan aren't in the combat, which apparently Krogans are all over the combat.
Yes.
And the Salarian Pathfinder, like, you have to name a different one, and then in your choice of who is going to take over, you can name the new Salarian Pathfinder. I'd really like some, like, actually giant decisions or ramifications for things that we've been doing. And I get that they wanted this to be a multi-part game, like, story, just like Mass Effect 1. But, like, if Mass Effect 1 didn't turn into 2 and 3... Mass Effect 1 has crazy decisions in it.
Yes.
You are killing party members. You're like, you can betray people. You are like, you can get Saren to kill himself if you have enough charisma. Yeah. Like, there's so much shit in Mass Effect 1 that is so relevant. And if Mass Effect 1 was just a one-off, it's still fucking great. And it's cool as hell.
Yeah.
This has no impact. Nothing you're doing is interesting. Enough. Yeah. And it should be. You're terraforming entire planets. You're on a big treasure hunt.
Huge shit.
I would actually like this game. I really would like this game to have more. Okay. This is my problem with almost all Mass Effect games, except for Mass Effect 2, because I think Mass Effect 2 does this really well. The team needs to be more scrappy.
I think you being
military doesn't super work for the vibe that this game wants. And the thing is that they want this to be a treasure hunting story by we're all looking for the Meridian. And I think if they just leaned real hard into the, like, you're scrappy people, this is a ship made of trash, it's way more like Star Wars than it is like, just do the original Mass Effect trilogy. And you're like, you're hunting for the Meridian in a cool, like, oh, you're going to XYZ hunting for clues and doing all this. I think that would be more fun of an adventure than the main story of this, which is kind of nothing. It's like, you're terraforming some stuff, and then when you're after you terraform it, it's like, oh, wait, it all leads to this place. Well, then let's just go there. And it's like, okay.
Okay.
What if it was cool, though?
And that planet is the super terraforming planet that terraforms everywhere at once.
And
it terraforms
everywhere at once and makes everything so sparkly. And it's like, okay, but I've already terraformed every planet. What are we fucking doing?
I know.
I don't know.
I would just like, anyway, I think I would love
Need to be scrappier.
More scrappier. I would like also just some, like, decisions. I would also like big decisions, like you said. But I would also love some decisions that change Ryder, change you. You know, like, I think that is something that is missing. The role playing game of this role playing game is missing a little bit.
It's deeply tough because it's yeah. It's so
I would just love that.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I think it's fine. It's the weakest of the Mass Effects. It is second on the like, and if we collect all of the Dragon Ages, we collect all the Mass Effects. It is second Ooh. Lowest to me, next to only
sure. yeah.
the Veil Guard, which is just fucking horrendous.
Yeah, there's a gap.
But
there's a significant
this is
gap.
To say, I really liked Andromeda at the beginning. The first two missions I thought were awesome. I thought were great.
Yeah,
so much fun.
Same.
Really interesting as well. The majority of the middle I didn't like at all. I was struggling to open the game. The
yeah,
back half I liked a decent chunk. Like, I thought it was fun. I do really like all these characters. For some reason, it's just missing that little secret sauce. And I don't know. I don't know how they would... I don't know. Put it back in.
Hello?
Oh, my God. And Dylan's dead. Oh my God, Dylan's dead.
No, hello. I'm not. I'm here.
Hello.
Hello.
What's happening? Right. Why is it so?
I think my internet
so
just cut out a little bit because it just froze and said reconnecting or something like that, but it came back.
It's because we're shit talking Sam too much. Sam, the worst part of this game. Completely
Sam
dog shit.
Didn't
how they
need
did
to be here.
They did Edie and it was the best. She was so great. So charming
great.
And lovable. And then they were like, what if we had a sentient AI, but we made it more robotic and not charming at all? I was like, why
not charming, not
this?
Interesting. And we actually made you forget that it's supposed to be an AI and you just sort of think it's a regular
robot. Yeah. Rubbish.
Yeah.
Well, that's different. Us. What about you? Do you have any big closing thoughts about the game?
My thoughts are what I just said, which is that I wish that you had more choices, big ones,
yeah.
and also ones about your character. I wish they didn't make it open world.
Yeah.
Or if they even just shrunk it a little bit or if they like streamlined the plot around the open world a little bit more. I think there were a lot of ways that it could have been a more enjoyable experience, most of which likely have to do with giving people more time to make the game.
Yeah,
and more
probably,
money.
Yeah.
But yeah, I liked it. I still like, this is a game that I will probably play at least one more time before, again. I don't know why exactly, but I feel like now that I know the game a little bit better, I feel like, and this is an annoying thing, but open world games are kind of like this. You, the player, have to make the game have good pacing. And that's annoying.
Yeah.
But I feel like I now know the game enough that I could give it good pacing.
You
and Inquisition had
better.
This problem too. If you had played Inquisition on your own without me kind of telling you, like, I feel like you probably would have had
and,
a worse time.
Hey, baby, I did. I did. We talked about this when we first started playing Inquisition. I played a lot of it. I did not like Inquisition at all because pacing is tough in an open world game.
In open world.
Yeah.
And then what saves Inquisition is that the plot points are all so distinct that when you do get to them, they are these, like,
yeah.
really big contained
game,
missions.
Where's my Wicked Eyes Wicked Hearts in this game?
Right.
Where is the main story missions that change the fundamental gameplay because it's interesting
yeah.
for a single mission? It's like
yeah.
I just feel like it was such a it's just so easy to do this. I don't know.
Yeah. I know.
I don't know.
So that's what I think. I think that it didn't need to be an open world game, but if now that I know it, I feel that I could control the pacing a little bit better. I might enjoy the middle part of the game a little bit more if I tried it again. So I probably will in a little bit after, you know, I've given it some space and I'm going to see like how it feels on a second time around.
Nice.
Which says a lot, because there's no part of me that ever wants to do that with Veilguard. So
no, because Veilguard
Andromeda,
is the all the time.
You're
hey,
Andromeda. There's,
some points
there,
to you there,
you've
mate.
Got a lot of redeeming things about you. A lot of good qualities. A lot of good characters. The home bases are my favorite parts, all of them. And the fact that there are so many, I think, is so cool.
Yeah, I do like that. And again, I like that every planet is like very distinct in like almost every way.
Yeah.
There are a lot of missions in this, which I like. I like a lot. Any mission that like has a cutscene in it that's like a side mission, it's like, oh, shit, this is actually kind of a big deal. It's not me go pick up this and do this kind of nonsense shit. It's like, well, yeah, that's interesting. I really liked terraforming every planet. I loved that every planet had hazards, and then
yes,
after you terraform it, it's changed significantly.
Yes,
Volts
loved that
switch between like hell ice dimension to a beautiful constant northern lights is fucking awesome. It's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's been loads of it, which I've been like, oh, that is actually really good. It's just, yeah, there's a lot of good ideas in this. And it's why if anyone said to me that they really liked it, this game, I wouldn't be like,
I wouldn't be
why.
Like, oh, you're wrong.
I'd be like,
oh,
sure,
yeah,
yeah.
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 So. We don't know what our next game is.
We're about
we have
to find
some
out.
We have some ideas. But if you're on the Patreon, we're gonna have a real easy breezy argument about what we want the next game to be. Now, the podcast episode might be literally 5 minutes. It might never end. It might just keep
Who
going
knows?
On as we go in circles and argue about it. But if you're on the Patreon, you should go watch it.
You should.
Anyway, that's my best friend Dylan over there. My name
That's
is Robin.
My best friend Robin over there.
That's me.
And there's you. You fucking...
You fucking
gremlin.
Annoying.
Oh, my God.
You know what they call you? They call you the Rooks of the world.
Oh! Oh, they did not just say that. Oh, shit. Oh, no.
You know what's so fun? We can jest about it. We can jest about it. That sucked to say. That was cruel. It was like an actual insult, and I didn't feel good about
it. That was bad.
That's mean.
That was bad.
But
whatever.
You stupid fucking losers. Make no mistake. No, this is a one-way trip. Is that not what it is?
This is a one-way trip. Is it make no mistake, this is a one-way trip? Because wasn't it make no mistake, the game was rigged from the start? Is it the same line, or have I?
No, it's not. No, because it's not. Make no mistake, the game was rigged from the start. It's you've had a the truth is the game was rigged from the start.
The truth is the game was rigged from
make
the
no
start.
Mistake, this
make
is a one
no
way
mistake,
trip.
Make no mistake, this was a one way trip.
Oh, yeah, okay. We real fucked up the last episode.
Well, it was a one-way trip.
It was a one-way trip
for the series as well, because apparently we're not coming back here.
Andromeda. Until Mass Effect 5 comes out in like 4 years, and then we'll
blow the
dust off. But isn't
that in the Milky Way?
Oh yeah, Andromeda.
That's what
there.
I mean. This was a one-way trip to Andromeda. We're never coming back here.
Yeah.
And we just dropped them off.
Ryder's dying over there, baby. Yeah.
All right.
All right. Kisses.
Boom.